Welcome to the Southern Fried Ambition podcast. In this episode, I sat down with Zach DeRocher, who is the managing editor of Geek Dad and the host of Radio Free Hipster. We talked about both of those projects and Ned's Atomic Dustbin and various other things, as you do. So without further ado, this is episode 3. Of Southern Fried Ambition.
Also, some well-to-do mother keeps getting giving out my number for a local Christian camp.
Yay!
So apparently, my daughter Jeanette's not going to be able to go.
Oh, and, no.
They don't know if they're going to be able to get the refund. So,
well, I've gotten on multiple. Apparently, no other John Rasmussen in the world realizes that I have that count.
Ah, yes.
And there are more of them than most people would realize. So I get youth hockey schedules. I was getting MLS information from a realtor, and I
could totally see you getting youth hockey schedules. That's like if I came from Arizona, if you forwarded me a youth hockey schedule, I'm like, well, of course.
For Oregon?
Oh, well, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, and I got like MLS information for a house in Wisconsin, and I responded to the realtor, and I'm like, okay, this is I know it doesn't seem like it, but there are a lot of John Rasmussens in the world, and this is the wrong one. I get this all the time, and she's like, okay, I'll resend it, and she resent it to the same email address, and I'm like, I'm sorry, this is still the wrong address. Please ask your client for the correct email address that you can send this to.
That's when somebody calls and you're like, oh man, I'm sorry, this is the wrong number. They immediately call back. I'm still not Steve, man. I'm sorry. I thought we had sussed this out.
No, really, bill collector, you got the wrong number. I swear. I have no idea what that social security number goes to.
Look at you recording on an actual laptop. We're not touch screening it no more.
Well, the tablet it on episode 42 mm-hmm. of Black Market Talks, yep. we failed to talk about life, the universe, and everything, and so and we did not have our towels. So half of the audio for that episode just poofed away. It locked up. And it poofed away, but it wasn't like the first half or the second half. It was like every 10 seconds, there was a 10 second gap. So, at that point, yeah, I had to get an actual laptop.
I gotcha.
The last critical hints was done on the tablet because Windows 10 wanted to update for an hour. So the tablet is still a viable option in emergency situations, because I have cleared everything off of there to make it where it works again.
And had you known we were recording in a Scion XB and not at a picnic table at the YMCA.
Yes. Because, we scouted out a location near Z's work here and found picnic tables and like, okay, good, decent outside. It's September. It's not going to be sweltering. And we show up, and it's lawn mowing day. So,
yeah. You gotta feel bad for the guy mowing lawns during lunchtime at the YMCA. It's like, I feel like they could have planned that better for him.
I don't think it's his lunchtime, though.
I guess not.
I guess.
I don't know. He might have a cup holder on that. That's a pretty sweet mower he's rolling around.
Yeah.
I say as I eat my sandwich on a podcast.
Yes. I will try to edit out the munching sounds.
This is me being professional.
Shit.
Normally, I'm just drinking when I podcast.
True. But you can edit all that out in post.
That's right.
I don't edit shit. But, you bring up your podcast. And honestly, if it wasn't for Radio Free Hipster, we probably wouldn't be recording today because I wouldn't have, I don't think I would have pursued it had you not laid that groundwork as, hey, somebody from high school is doing this. He makes it sound easy. And that's the thing. You make it sound easy, so I'm like, I could do that. But it's not.
Well, no,
if you do it properly.
But that's good. But I'm glad.
That means you're doing it properly if it sounds effortless, right?
Well, and I'm also sort of paying it forward because there wouldn't be a Radio Free Hipster if not for a UK podcaster named Tim who does a Radio Clash, which is a sort of a mashup bastard pop show.
You said it wrong. It's multi-parsec award winning Radio Free Hipster.
Two-time Parsec Award-winning podcast, Radio Free. But yeah, like it was shows like that, like back in the early 2000s, the Radio Clash podcast, which was, you know, kind of showed me what you could do with music in a podcast format, especially if you weren't super concerned about copyright. And
which became much more of an issue after you got started.
Even like the Cheap Ass Gamer podcast, which is just three guys talking, like it was just, you know, if you listen to a good podcast, you feel like you're a part of it.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, even for, you know, even for just my friends, like if you listen to that and you're like, I could do that, then like then I guess I've done my job. If somebody can find a band that they dig or figure out that if my dumb ass can figure this out, anybody can, then I feel like I've done it.
Yeah, there is that. but, you know, going through your social feed, what we obviously have to talk about today is Ned's Atomic Dustbin.
Yes, that was my... And I don't even know how I got started on Ned's. I did, Judas Sandwich here. For years, I did
And the only song I know by them is Gracell Green.
You don't know Kill Your Television?
No,
same
no.
album. Same album.
Well, I bought the single.
Ah.
You know, in
1992, this was a viable, you could buy a single, ma'am.
No, it was a CD single.
Oh.
But it was in the used bin at Manifest.
Yeah, Manifest was our one local record shop.
Right.
I mean, we had, Poco in Easley?
Yeah.
With its vast selection of nothing, so we had to
Manifest. Poco didn't have a used section.
Well, and they didn't do. I mean, it was mostly just major label stuff. So if you were looking for weird indie things,
yeah, 93, 94, they started getting those European import live stuff,
yeah,
where you could buy a $25 Pearl Jam CD.
if that's a thing, if that's a wise investment, I'm not going to stop.
I'm not sure I thought it was a wise investment, but it ate a lot of my Subway money. A disproportionate amount of my salary in 1993 and 94.
But yeah, I for a number of years I used a service called This Is My Jam, where you just go and you just pick a song and it would kind of propagate it through your feeds, and they just stopped doing that because there's obviously not a lot of ad revenue.
Yeah,
for weird ass middle aged men talking about what they're listening to, and I think it was my buddy Rusty,
and it never caught on with anyone other than middle aged men. Who
exactly,
were going back
it was just for us. my buddy Rusty turned me on to Guy's Jukebox, which is a very similar service.
Yes,
and you know,
but the kids are doing it.
But apparently that's the hip one. That one works. So yeah, Ned's Atomic Dustbin was just the song of the day, and I don't remember what set it off. I don't remember if there was something gray and or green that brought
or
that
cell.
Say if it was cell related, but yeah, that was my song today. And John was like the first person to comment,
and I believe the only person to comment.
I was gonna say as of lunchtime, this thing could be blowing up now, John.
I'm yeah.
Staying off my phone for the integrity of the podcast.
Yes, yeah.
To counteract the fact that I'm eating a sandwich.
Sandwich. You're the managing editor of Geek Dad. Have been doing that for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Just came up on the 10th anniversary, right, of your Radio Free Hipster.
You
took a hiatus.
Yeah, there was a break.
It's still 10 years.
Yeah, this is technically like 2.0. But yeah, I've been podcasting for 10 years now, which just shows, you know, if you really kind of put your heart and soul into it, you can still be moderately successful.
Yeah, yeah.
You can garner universal acclaim.
You're rolling in that Patreon money.
That's right. And that was actually what brought it back. A couple years ago, I went through a divorce and had to relocate. So, both emotionally and logistically, doing a podcast was just infeasible.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess last year, Ken Didmead, who's our head guy over at Geek Dad, was putting together a Patreon, and one of the things he wanted to do with it was to get some seed money to start our own podcasting network.
Right.
And he asked if I would come, if I'd bring the show back as like a goal. And I thought that was ridiculous, so I agreed to it because I didn't think it would happen. Like, sure, whatever.
You think that's going to bring the money? And then it did.
And it did well enough where
you have to do it twice a month.
That's right. Which was my original. So this is just sort of a return to form.
Yes.
But man, let me tell you, not doing a podcast is way easier than doing a podcast. That not doing a podcast is that's the level of commitment I typically have. But
you know, doing it while eating a sandwich.
Doing it while eating a sandwich and drinking is fine. Drinking a store brand beverage.
Dr. Thunder. I'm surprised they're allowed to use the doctor.
You know what? I like all of my drinks to sound like a bad Kiss tribute band.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dr. Thunder.
Yes, yes. Kiss Dr. Hook.
Man, I'm totally going to
mash that thing up.
I'm totally going to start a Dr. Hook tribute band now. You planted the seed, John. Yes. This is all on you, man.
Whatever comes is my fault. Okay. I can see how that can be a thing.
But yeah, no, I was with the Patreon thing. I think I was fortunate enough that
so is this
some names, no, like the Double Clutch were nice enough to like tweet out about it. And stuff. And it was just, I mean, because I played so much music for so long, it was hard. It got to be hard to ignore me, I think.
Yeah,
I was just everywhere. So well, they begrudgingly acknowledged. But no, like that's the thing about the sort of indie nerdy music community is it looks out for its own, and it's really supportive of not just other artists but of other people who are trying to spread the word, I think.
Well, even we for Black Market Toast we did an episode on MC Lars, and MC Lars shared it out, and he got like 150 likes on the post, and it still only got like 30 listens. And I'm like, how does this happen? What,
it's too easy to share on social media. Because you can like something and have absolutely no skin in the game. You're like, I clicked the button, man. What else do you want? What else are you expecting?
But Z was on for the Daredevil episode, he shared it, and we got 150 on that one. So you outperformed MC Lars.
I think that was all Daredevil, actually.
You outperformed both MC Lars and our Crow episode, which was our other hit. Because everybody loves the
People
Crow.
People do like to talk about any movie with Iggy Pop, I think.
Next, so we definitely need to do Trainspot.
They do the Crybaby episode.
Did that too, yeah. Yeah, but Luke Cage is coming out first, so.
It is. I'm so looking forward to that. I was going to say, and I think when we talked about Jessica Jones, I kept bringing up the fact that Luke Cage was kind of my favorite part.
Yeah.
And when he ceased to become a plot device and disappeared for a couple episodes, I was genuinely like, when's Luke? Luke's coming back,
Luke's
right?
Luke's coming back, right?
And again, they sort of...
You're not just going to wait until his show, right?
There was a little narrative hand-waving, I think, that explained that. But still, I was like, guys, you realize you needed more Luke. I'm just throwing that out there.
And more Tenant.
Oh, there's almost two Tenant. I can't do... Like, if it's not Harry Potter-related, I can't do overly serious, crazy, manipulative Dave Tenant. That's too much for me. I trusted you, you foofy-haired son of a bitch.
You bastard.
Crazy. Purple bastard.
But honestly, the best part of season two of Daredevil was Punisher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing... But not Elektra.
Did you not...
Elektra was okay.
She's so pretty. I just like to look at her and watch her punch people in the throat. Face. That's what I'm looking for in a woman.
That's why we need the what's her name the nurse series so that we can have our eye candy for the entire
night nurse
thing.
The series. You know what, man? It's only a matter of time. Rosario, too big of a name to not have her own show if she wants it. It'll just be her doctoring people.
Unfortunately, I don't think she wants it.
No, it's kind of like, I think she's to the point now where she is a 90s John Cusack, where she just basically does something if it looks like fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'll come do that for a while.
I've got enough house.
We're doing high fidelity shit? Yeah, I'll come be in high fidelity.
Hell yeah, yeah. And he's not always the best at picking the random thing he's going to do.
He had a run there. The Gross Point Blank High Fidelity run.
Yes, was really, yes.
And then I think was it Day After Tomorrow? He was in some big weird disaster flick. And when they showed it, I was like, what?
It wasn't Day After Tomorrow because that was Jake.
Yeah, that was Gyllenhaal. Yeah, no, but it was one of those vaguely ecological sort of disaster thrillers. And I'm like, John Cusack's doing that?
We went to see...
Is Joan in it? Because I don't know if I'm going to see that without Joanie. Eh?
We went to see Day After Tomorrow in the theater here, and just freak weather. We went in, it was like, 85 degrees outside. We went in, watched the movie, and come out, and it's like 55, 60.
They paid
and we're like, oh shit, it's coming.
It's that weather machine, man.
Just
that's
freak weather. It dropped like 20 degrees while we were in that movie. And
that is
like,
a hell of a promotional opportunity there. Universal throwing some money down.
The government weather changing thing. Well,
I think
allowed to know about.
Hey, man, I put it all on Destro. If anybody's making weather machines, it's Destro.
Destro. We have managed to not talk much about Zach.
That's right, which is weird because that's really the only thing I have the vaguest clue about. It's the only thing I really can talk about. Totally unqualified to discuss anything else.
Somehow you've become the one that's courted by Nintendo on the Geek Dad front.
Yeah, that was and that goes back to, was it 2008 when Metroid Other M came out? Nobody else wanted to review it, so eventually it just made it. I was a stringer. It was back when I'm Wired on Geek Dad, and I was a stringer, and it just kind of made it to me. And I was like, sure, that looks interesting. And I was like the one person that enjoyed it, too.
You're the only positive review
that's
they got.
That's right, it might have been. But like, I was like, yeah, okay, the Samus's characterization is kind of weird, but the game itself was enjoyable.
I get to be in a ball and moving through things.
That's right, man.
What else do you want in a Metroid title?
There was a suit. There were some hostile alien environments. I became the Nintendo guy, so that's nice. And anytime I get frustrated, I'm like, but I do get to play video games, and that's part of my job.
So. Yes, part of your after hours gig.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I've thought a few times before about going like the freelancer route and just doing that, but man. That just seems like an awful lot of work. My day job's not perfect, but it
gives you a consistent paycheck to fall back on.
And, health insurance, and it's fairly predictable with the hours and stuff.
So, yeah.
To tie it back to Rusty Shackles, one of my visual art guys. Like, we've talked a couple times before about how insulting you could do this professionally is from people. That sort of weird backhanded compliment.
If you're paying for a piece of art, then they are doing it professionally.
That's sort of it. Well, and it's like
it's no longer amateur once you pay for it.
And I think just a lot of people think that if you're not doing something full time then that's not your gig. And man, I got friends who do. Like I was there when my buddy Eugene Adam Warrock sort of. His early days of transitioning from law to being like a full-time touring musician. And it was horrible. Like, I don't see how he does it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, and there's a, I forget who they were. It may have been Tom Hanks on Nerdist, where Chris Hardwick asked him, what was plan B if you never became an actor? And he flat out said, if there was ever a plan B, I would not be an actor. Because... if there was something to fall back on, I wouldn't have made it through the tough times.
That performing
I would have
without
quit.
A net thing. Yeah. That's got to be a good motivator. Well, and that's like, I know I could if something happened. And the state of South Carolina went bankrupt, which, let's be honest,
it is definitely in the cards. We're no North Carolina for pissing away any funds coming in.
I could get by, but man, and another thing is, if you're doing something part-time, I think there's a lot more fun to be had.
Yeah. If it's part-time, you can kind of view it as a creative outlet.
And you can kind of pick and choose what and how you do. And there's a certain freedom to that that I really like.
Gulp.
This podcast brought to you by Dr. Thunder.
Diet.
It's both diet and calorie free. They had to make a point to put that.
The more words on the front, the better it has to be.
Yeah, they figure people are only going to read the first couple. This is my beverage. I like the can.
It's like the Japanese shirts with English on them. It just has random words thrown together.
That's it.
Yes.
Love it.
Of soda.
On the Geek Dad front, every once in a while, there will be something that happens that kind of gets us all excited. Like something will be optioned or there'll be the potential for something. And I mean, it would be great if I could do that full time. But again, like that would, editing 3 or 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
And running, scheduling posts and doing social is super time consuming.
Right.
So like, if that happened, like, I don't even know if I'd have time to write. I'd be so busy working on other people's writing and stuff.
Yeah,
and that's significantly less fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. These guys write some pretty cool shit, but still. It's reading as a vocation, and that's a little...
That's a little different.
A little touchy.
Yeah. Geek Dad started as a part of Wired under Condé Nast.
Yeah, okay. It was actually a vanity project of Chris Anderson, who was the editor-in-chief at the time.
Okay.
And he and his kids were doing, the UAVs, rockets, and sort of pre-drone, little unmanned minicraft. And he's like, I'm gonna do this, and I've got this domain, so I'm just gonna float this domain. Mm-hmm. That'll be what we call it. And then, of course, as Chris kind of got more and more involved, he had less time for this project that he loved.
Yes.
And it ended up falling to Ken Denmead, who is sort of our big cheese now. And there was an issue with, Condé Nast, and we ended up sort of going independent. And now it's just us trying to perpetually right the ship one way or the other.
Well, when you fall under a larger conglomerate, for lack of a better term, you might not get the review items or get something shipped over to you.
For us, it was a lot more of how they viewed the content and our rights to it. There's a lot of stuff I can't get into, but it was a corporate culture thing.
And,
especially us now as like an independent entity, Geek Dad is distinctly non-corporate.
Yay!
Which again, we could probably make a whole lot more money had we assimilated. But you kind of go where you feel led, and that I think it was a good. It's not that it hasn't been a ton of work for all of us, but I think it was the right decision.
And that pushed you guys on the Patreon route.
We eventually ended up on Patreon, which is it's great. I wonder if it's going to hit that Kickstarter critical mass at some point in the near future, because it seems like more and more people are having them.
There's a lot of... I personally only back two things on Patreon, and it's $1 a month for each of them. Geek Dad, make sure that you keep podcasting.
You have to keep me honest. Like,
and
because you got my number. You can call me. You're like, man, I hear that...
Okay, it's been 3 months. I'm about to pull my dollar back.
I hear that surgery and not being able to talk thing was some bullshit.
Patreon has several options where you can do monthly, which is the two that I back are monthly, but then they have ones that are per episode, and that seems like it would get kind of sketchy and stuff.
You know? Yeah, because like, is there a point? Again, I guess it's sort of trust in your content providers, but yeah, like, would there not be that incentive just to crank out
50 in a day?
That's right. Today's episode brought to you by this guy.
And at the same time, you have to trust that your backers are financially sound enough to take a $1 hit at a random time
at
in their pay cycle.
Irregular intervals. Yeah. and I hate it because like there's so many just musicians, visual artists and stuff that I really love and admire and that are my friends that are on Patreon. It's just like, I don't have money, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm in the same bucket you are.
Which is the same thing I went through with Kickstarter. It's like, man, I love and I support mm-hmm. this product, but I don't have an extra $40 right now.
I love doing Kickstarters, but it's very few and far between for me.
Man, that remind me button, get that little star. Like 2 days before this thing goes off, you holler at me. We'll see what's going on.
I'm much more likely to hit a Humble Bundle than I am a Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm getting instant gratification for like a buck.
I think that's great. Just sort of because again that's very much a nerd culture thing. Yes, the Humble bundles.
Well, they did the Humble Vampire Bundle mm-hmm. not so long ago, yep. and that was all kinds of old friggin' Vampire the Masquerade books, mm-hmm. Which I have in print somewhere. In some box in the garage or something.
I did that Pathfinder bundle.
Oh, yeah,
I wasn't even a fan of D&D 3.5 when it was D&D 3.5, but I was still like, I'll throw some money at these guys. Yeah, they're good people.
Right.
Give him a little love.
I had somewhere I was going. I have completely forgotten. But whatever.
I was going to say, so this is basically just like all of our conversations, only we're recording it. That's the big difference.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're not at a restaurant, and we're recording it.
Well, restaurants have way too much background noise.
They do.
Because, yeah, if anybody listened to that Jessica Jones podcast... The table next to us had no respect for the fact that we were recording the podcast.
Yeah, clearly there
those
was
bastards.
Visual, clearly visible microphone sitting in the middle of the table.
And the host who just sat them right next to us when the entire rest of the restaurant was open. But, you know, yeah, first world problems or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we have the bells going off now.
Yes. It must be noon.
Get a little of that upstate South Carolina ambiance going on here.
The church bell ambiance. Yeah. So you just hit 10 years on your podcast.
And it's weird because the podcast really grew out of the blog, which grew out of the fact that in 2005, I had a kid and I needed a hobby that didn't cost money.
Mm-hmm.
And writing seemed to be the way to go. It was, you know, something that I'd always done.
And you were one of the first ones to latch onto that scene. And scene kind of latched back.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing.
And you did it well. Well, that helps.
Especially like the nerdcore hip-hop community was kind of coming together at the point. And I think I was probably, for at least a couple of years, the only person that was talking about it that was mm-hmm. not a musician or a producer. Like I was one of the few people that wasn't involved.
You were their media.
I was it, man.
And they spread the love with you. They gave you songs for compilation CDs.
It was crazy. This was back before we realized we were supposed to pay each other for stuff like that. It was like, sure, you can have this thing that I spent 2 weeks writing and recording for nothing to give away for nothing.
It's like asking people to come on your podcast for nothing. I feel like at some point, I would like to get to the point where I can compensate people somewhat for being a guest.
Give them that Marc Maron custom coffee cup or something.
Because God knows I'm not giving them any publicity for this shit.
Good swag. You want to get the top shelf swag.
Yeah, yeah. So at some point, I'm going to have to jump on the Patreon wagon.
That's right.
That's where I was going. I've seen... Trying to decide if I'm going on Patreon or not. I've seen these kind of get rich quick Patreon schemes where basically you get on and you ask other people who are on to back you and you'll back them and you back them monthly and maybe you have them back you per episode and then you're kind of betting on they're not going to keep doing their thing, so they're not going to keep taking my money, but I'm going to have this, you know, they're going to, they're going the AOL model with, they're going to forget they're giving me money.
But yeah, that's going to, you're basically short selling entertainment media at this point.
And I'm like, I don't want the sketchy money route. I want, you know, if you want to support me, then support me.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're interested in giving to a Patreon, let me know and I will set one up. Because I don't know. I feel bad asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I have a decent day job.
Yeah.
And I'm just doing this for my fun and, you know, to talk to people.
Yeah.
Because that's what this podcast is talking to local people and getting their stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's more interesting than talking to celebrities, personally.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We have local color.
We have local color, at some point, I'll be finding Wi-Fi hotspots during my lunch hour to do further out color. But, you know, I'm getting local people to talk about their stories, and I'm getting interesting stories and interesting conversations, mm-hmm. and getting to see people I don't necessarily normally get to see.
Yeah, because because we don't play D&D every week.
Yes, yes. Which I ran into Alex at a party over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I've talked to Dylan and Joe, and they both really want to finish out that campaign. And he's like, I bet they do. And that was the end of the conversation. But we need to kill that. We have an army. And I'm like,
that's right.
And
yeah.
I understand that's the reason it probably ended, is because the logistics of the
marshalling forces, man. That
the logistics of the fucking Lord of the Rings Battle of Five Armies is not going to be easy to pull off in a D&D setting, but
all right, I'm gonna need you guys to roll for everything.
Okay, every individual orc, you need to roll a die. But you need to say which one it is, because they all have different specialties. I created all of them.
The Patreon thing, though, like, I won't name names, but the first time I saw, there was another podcast that I followed that had, with some friends of mine, that had gone out of production, just like mine had, and they did a Kickstarter to bring it back. And my first thought was, oh, this would be really cool if they're able to do this. And my second thought was, wait a minute, you can get money for this? Because, like, it...
Motherfucker!
Occurred to me, when I started, like, well, Hipster Please, I had there was a PayPal donate button that a couple bucks would roll in through every once in a while. And
I put links to my Amazon
that's
in
it.
The show notes.
That's my thing, man. If you pick up a couple of songs from the show notes, you've thrown a little bit of money at me, and that's more than enough. But on the one hand, like, I love the fact that the double clicks of the world are able to finance these awesome new albums and tours and projects. There's way too much good art for me to support it all, and you have to pick and choose, and that's cognitive dissonance, man. Like, you want all the good people to prosper,
yes.
And when you can't contribute to that, it's a little bit of a downer.
And if I can't contribute to everyone I want to, I'm not giving it to anyone.
That's because
I'm not showing favoritism.
You do get to a point, because I had to do that for a while. I had to be like, man, I'll talk about your thing, but I can't do it. It's too much. Bumped up my anxiety meds, and suddenly everything's okay.
Okay. Well, and it's like on the RPG side with Kickstarter, everything that's coming out is getting kickstarted first. And a lot of times it's like, we're funding our second edition with Kickstarter. It's like, okay, your business model needs to have something built in where if first edition does well enough,
that you can either do
a reprint or a second edition and have the funds there to roll into it if you think it's going to do something. Businesses shouldn't be banked on pre-orders.
Yeah. Well, and that, and that was so much of what Kickstarter became. It was America's pre-order program. And,
yeah.
And for stuff like that, a lot of times I would just have to be like, all right, you know what? When this hits retail, I'll pick up your Amazon from Amazon or your Amazon, your album from Amazon or Google Play or something. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, you know, I'll go to your store site and buy your game.
Well, and
once it's a thing that I can have.
Right.
Because you obviously, especially one of those things that's, you know, 115% funded four days in.
But, you know, when Vampire the Masquerade 20th Anniversary Edition came out, it came out and they said, this is your opportunity to get it. It's going to be leather bound, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's $100 a copy. This is how you're getting it. This is it. And that's how they sold it.
Yeah.
And then they met their goals, blah, blah, blah. Sure, I have $100 leather bound copy of Vampire the Masquerade, but it also got a cheaper retail. But that was never said as a possibility. That it was never said as, oh, yeah, and you're going to be able to get it later because, you know, we funded it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I got that for Vampire, which actually I didn't pay $100 for it. I threw it out on Facebook and said, hey, if anyone wants to get me for this for me, that would be super awesome. And a super awesome person said, okay. And I said, what? And thank you.
Yeah.
And his character has not died in any game I've run with.
My friend, you've invested in a bright future.
You have chosen wisely. and yeah, and Eric's characters have not died. It's getting to the point where he's getting to the end of that. You know, you're almost where you have to buy me another book.
You're going to have to put another quarter in the meter, Eric, I'm afraid.
But any of the subsequent, you know, 20th anniversary that they've come out with because they did so well on that one, I've been like, okay, yeah, it's going to make its Kickstarter. I don't know if it's going to make its freaking push goals or whatever, but there's going to be a cheaper retail version of it, and I'll wait for that.
That's just the, you know, this weird content economy we've all found ourselves in. It's the rules are changing, and I think most of us don't quite know what the hell we're supposed to be doing. Well, it's a good bit of the time.
The only time that you look at backing a Kickstarter is if it's like, I don't know if this is going to make it or not.
That like, desperation. You're like, man, I
really want this.
I hope these guys do this.
But then it's, well, I might get it, I might not, and I'm giving them this money.
Yeah.
And that's kind of shitty, but that's like, there's a Goonies card game. I was like, ooh, there's a Goonies card game on Kickstarter, and so we threw money at it, and in theory it's coming sometime soon. But I don't think it will ever get pushed out wide. So,
well, and that's one of the things I like about the Patreon model is a lot of times, like, this is a person with a track record that's already making things.
Yes.
So you know that if you kick it in, that, you know, new single or that new episode or that new, you know, webcomic strip or something is coming. So that's, you know, as much as I vilify these things, like, I totally understand that it's a viable option, and I'm happy for it to be there, especially because of the fact that, you know, so many of the people we know are creatives, and that really helps them do their thing.
And you know, I kind of said bad things about the per episode model, but with the per episode model or the per song model, it's you're paying for that song or that episode when that episode is done and published.
Yeah.
With Kickstarter, you're paying for it in the hopes that it might be.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a little bit, you know, you're paying for a completed product that way. And that's better than paying for someone's hopes and dreams sometimes.
Well, and then kind of in the middle of that, you have like the GoFundMe thing where we'll just,
I can't pay for my medical.
Even with projects and stuff, like, you're throwing that money in
for nothing.
Well, yeah, because you want to, for whatever reason, because you feel led to. And I've seen a lot of, you know, people actually be able to tour and stuff because of that. So that's, you know.
Yeah. GoFundMe is a even huger crapshoot of
it. Really is
crap.
But man, it's just amazing because all the stuff, like,
for us who sort of caring and
yeah. Well, for us who sort of grew up with the early days of the commercial internet, like I would have never seen this stuff coming.
No, no.
Like I was like, you can make money off this? You mean like on eBay? I don't.
No, I made my Angel Fire website. What do you mean that someone's going to pay me for my content? No.
Yes. The Angel Fire website.
GeoCities. That's what I was actually looking for in my head when I said Angel Fire. But, you know, it's the same concept.
I was going to say, I floated my blog on Blogger and Tumblr, so I can't say nothing about free web platform services. Well,
this will be published on WordPress.
Good old
so,
WordPress.
You know, and not, you know, WordPress running on a server. No, mm-hmm. This is WordPress.com. It's pushed out to all your podcast catchers, but if you're grabbing it off the friggin' regular link, it's
that's where it's a free website. Where it lives.
And actually, the audio is on archive.org. .com or whichever one that is.
.org. Archive.org or what I like to call it. Wonder if that movie is no longer copyrighted.
Yeah. Or that video game. That's, or whatever. What? Yeah.
You know what I don't own? A copy of Nosferatu. I bet
that thing is public domain.
1938. Let's see. Plus 75.
Sure, I use clunky tools. I'm recording on Audacity, which is not necessarily clunky. It's actually one of the better sound editing tools.
I actually do, for my show, I still do all of my song mixing and stuff in Audacity, mm-hmm. just because I like for straight up recording audio, and especially a friend of ours, Brooks, audio wizard had helped me sort of set up an effects bus in GarageBand. So it's really effortless for me to do my sort of spoken part. But any, you know, mixing and edits and stuff that you hear in the music set in Radio Free Hipster is just me, you know, dorking around in Audacity.
Yeah. Well, it's like some people have soundboards. I have cut and paste.
That's it, man.
And any bumpers are added in post. They are not happening in real life.
No. And it's cool because the way I do it is I do basically four different sets of songs. I have opening theme or an intro track, mm-hmm. and then four to five first, or usually a four to six song first set, and then a three or four song second set, and then whatever I'm closing on and the sort of Geek Dad bumper at the end.
Yeah.
And I put those together more or less before I even start, and then I just kind of have my notes. But it's cool because I can lay those things out, and then they play me in just like I was doing terrestrial radio or something.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, say my piece. And if I screw something up, I can go back and re-record.
Yeah,
that's why you don't hear me singing along with whatever the last two songs are in every episode.
Well, it's like with Hip Tracks, which you did mm-hmm. you did for Geek Dad for a while.
Yeah, that was my first Geek Dad podcast. Yeah.
You guys didn't actually listen to the songs, and you actually paid reference to that from time to time.
That's right. As far as you know, we just heard.
Yeah, that was totally 4 minutes ago. You know, you'd say you'd throw shit like that in there. It's like, okay.
And that was fun because you know, Ken and I have been friends for a long time, and it was mm-hmm. it was great working with him on that. But at the same time, it is, like, logistically so much easier when it's just you and a mic.
Well, but...
Or in my case, you and a mic and some kids and a cat. Running around the back.
I understand that, but I have a hard time... I have a hard time just talking when it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather bounce off somebody else.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Well, see,
but, you know, like with Critical Hints, when Curtis was in Kansas, he's here now, mm-hmm. and it's been a logistical nightmare to get together and make the thing. But we were doing, I would do it at work, but we don't have Wi-Fi at work, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to use my data. So what we would do, we'd do a double ender where I would call him on a regular phone call.
Yeah.
And we would each record our end into Audacity.
Mm-hmm.
He would ship me his end. Yep. I would put them together And that's how we would go. And that's why at the beginning of every episode, even now when we don't need to do it, I would start off with, I'm John, and he'd say, I'm Curtis, and I go, okay, so this is where this lines
that's
up.
That's right. That's,
and that's and it. That's an edit point.
See, man, all of those years I did sort of Mark One of Radio Free Hipster, where I had a guest or an interview, or, you know, my buddy's church and Matt come on and help me through something. Like, everybody always recorded independently just because the fidelity was so much better.
And
you don't got to deal with Skype voice.
All right. Well, now you're starting to be able, with Google Hangouts, you're starting to be able to get there with the sound quality. But, yeah, recording independently on either end is always your best bet for quality. Did you have something?
Oh, no, I'm just enjoying that low-flying plane that the mic just picked up.
Yeah. That's Bales of Cocaine, right? By Reverend Horton Heat.
I got that reference.
Yay! I guess we'll go into, if this episode wasn't enough of shameless self-promotion, you got anything you want to push harder than what we've been pushing you this entire episode?
GeekDad.com, which helps me pay the bills, and my where you can see me write about video games and cartoons and horror movies, because October's almost here.
There we go. Yeah.
So I've been watching a whole lot of these beautifully profane Vestron DVDs.
Okay.
That they've up-resed and everything. You can find my show, and that's really, it used to be a blog, but hipsterplease.com right now is just a repository of all the episodes of the current run of the show.
Yes.
If that's a thing that you would like to listen to, that's that.
And it's also on any podcatcher that you could think of.
That's right. Except for iTunes. I had a malformed, they thought was a tag, because I had included a bracket to denote that a track had been live.
Ah.
And once you're rejected by iTunes, there's not an easy way to resubmit.
Oh, shit.
So eventually I just said, screw iTunes. But I'm everywhere else.
Everywhere else.
Google loves me, let me tell you. Shout out to my buddy Larry, who's probably listening. And I'm pretty much at Hipster Please in all of your social medias.
And I know if you subscribe to his podcast on Pocket Cast, you'll usually get it a day before he even says it's out there.
That's the cool thing. I try to work far enough ahead where I can just go ahead, because normally it would be like the night before and I'm scrambling to get stuff set up. But now a lot of times it's like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and throw this up. Doesn't have to come out till tomorrow. Go ahead and toss this out there. If you got the RSS, a little present.
And I am at Woodle on the Twitter and the Instagrams and the Pokemon Go and anywhere else you see that. Oh, and XDA Developers haven't posted there in a couple years, but
That was actually what that last message was. Apparently, my Pokemon Go Plus has shown up at the house.
Oh, so shit.
I got that going for
me. So you got to go.
Well, the PokemonCenter.com has them in stock.
Ah, so there we go.
That's my pro tip.
There you go. And we'll do this again next time.
Bye-bye.
This has been a Southern Geek Podcast.